In order for sin to be successful in our lives, sin will never show up for what it really is.
Oh, unto you who fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. Oh, unto you.
But sin always disguises itself so that you don't recognize what it really is. Sin will always wrap itself up in something beautiful, in something other than what it really is. It never shows up at first for what it really is, but it puts a coat on, it puts a disguise on, it wraps a cloak around it so that you don't know what it really is, and it'll appear to be one thing, but if you strip the coat off, it'll be exactly something that's the opposite. That's how sin operates in our life. Sin always will disguise itself.
And what more can we say than Holy Spirit come and fill this place? What more can we say than Holy Spirit come, 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 Holy Spirit come.
And that's what I want you to get this morning. Sin will always wear a pretty coat. To Adam, sin cloaked itself and wrapped itself in the sweetness of the fruit. He didn't show up and say, I'm going to give you death, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to give you disease and sickness. Sin showed up in a tasteful, sweet piece of fruit. It never shows up for what it is. It always disguises itself. For Judas, sin showed up in a bag of silver and financial security. For David, sin wrapped itself up in the body of a beautiful woman named Bathsheba. For Samson, it showed up and wrapped itself up in the soft caress of Delilah. For Lot, sin wrapped itself up in the beautiful farmland. Now, it didn't show up as Sodom and Gomorrah. It showed up as beautiful farmland wrapped up so pretty. But if you could strip the coat off, you would see that Sodom and Gomorrah and death and his wife dying and all of that was there. Because sin is a deceiver. The devil is a liar, a crook, a deceiver. And the only way he can get people into sin is to show up. And we need to ask and we need to have discernment like that old prophet to say, why, sin, are you coming to me, tempting me to pretend to be something you're not? Because I know you're not life, you're death. I know you're not heaven, you're hell. I know you're not beautiful, you're ugly. I know. Sin always has to disguise itself. Sin must constantly change its wardrobe so it won't be recognized. And so it does it in our society. It changes. Sometimes sin shows up in a suave personality. Sometimes sin shows up in a false religion. Sometimes sin shows up in something that looks so attractive to our eyes because sin has to disguise itself. Sin hides beneath and it destroys lives. And I want you to think with me. I remember seeing a picture of Mount St. Helens before it erupted into a volcano. And before it erupted, you would have seen beautiful green grass and lovely trees and flowers. And down at the foothills of that mountain was a beautiful, quaint village. It was incredible. It was amazing. It looked so nice on the outward. But beneath that surface, that veneer, there was boiling lava and fire and death. And that is exactly how sin does. It shows up and it looks so good. It looks so attractive. It looks so appealing. But it is not what it appears beneath. It's that which destroys lives completely. If you strip away the beautiful coat, David, let's do it a minute. if you strip away the beautiful coat of an adulterous affair. Because when that affair showed up in David's life, Bathsheba was bathing, and it was so appealing, it was so beautiful. But let's strip away the coat for a moment, and when you strip away the coat of David's adulterous affair with Bathsheba, what do you see? You see a dead baby. What do you see? You see his son Amnon raping his daughter Tamar. What do you see? You see his other son Absalom murdering Amnon for raping his sister. You see a home that is broken. You see a grave site. You see a child that is dead because of his affair. You see flowers. You see brokenness. You see grief. Strip the coat off. The enemy will come and show you something beautiful. But if you can strip the coat off, David, it's not as beautiful as it looks. Strip the coat off, Samson. Oh, isn't Delilah something? Isn't she amazing? But let's strip the coat off. And if you strip the coat off, you'll see Samson grinding in the mill like an ox. You'll see him bound in chains. You'll see his eyes being plucked out. That's not very beautiful, is it? But you see, the devil never shows sin for what it really is. He never shows you the real picture. He never shows you what it'll do to you. He always dresses it up and wraps it up and clothes it and coats it in something beautiful. But you've got to learn to have discernment, to strip the coat off and not believe the lies. We don't walk by sight. We walk by what we know God tells us in his word.
Oh, unto you who fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing.
He never shows you. He'll come to you, young couples and old couples for that matter.
Fear my name.
And he'll show you
shall
out there is a happier life than your marriage.
Rise with healing and
sure enough, he'll introduce you to somebody out there. And he'll tell you how wonderful. He'll cloak it. He'll wrap it up in a beautiful coat. It'll look so nice. You'll begin to toy with it in your mind. Remember, private thoughts lead to public actions. Watch your thinking. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. The enemy presents it as something beautiful, something exciting, something enticing. There it is. But if you strip the coat off, he doesn't show you your children crying themselves to sleep at night because of the divorce. He doesn't show you financial ruin. He doesn't show you ruined health. I've never seen a billboard of a lung that was eaten up with cancer. It's amazing, isn't it? You always see the billboard of the beautiful model smoking the cigarette. Why does the devil show you that? Because he has to disguise sin in order to be successful with it. He'll never show you the liver that's eaten up because the alcoholic has been drinking. He'll never show you a picture of the alcoholic throwing up his own blood in the commode. He'll never show you that. Oh, but he loves to show you that delightful first sip. He loves to show you how exciting the party is. He'll never show you the sexually transmitted disease. He'll never show you the picture of the guy dying of AIDS. He'll show you how fun, wild, free sex is. I'm going to tell you what he's doing in America. Satan is presenting on television, everywhere we turn, the gay lifestyle to be beautiful and exciting and fun and carefree. He'll never show the truth of that real picture, that it is guilt, it is death, it is AIDS, it is sin, it is hell on earth. He won't show that picture. He'll show you the good time. He never shows the bad time. He'll show you the prodigal son's hotel suite, but he won't show you his pig pen. He'll show you Judas's money bag, But he won't show you Judas hanging from his own gallows. He'll show you his living room, because everybody's living room looks good. Every room in your house may be filthy, but your living room looks nice. But Satan will never show you his backyard. He'll show you his rookies, because he can't show you his veterans. Most of them are dead. Nobody has ever gone into sin and came back out of sin after serving the devil many years saying, "Oh, praise your name, Lucifer. You blessed and given me such a wonderful life." Not one. Not one. He'll show you his noontime, but he won't show you midnight. He'll show you the entrance, but he won't show you the ending. Because sin has to disguise itself in order to be successful. And I see the billboards, the magazine covers, the TV programs. He never shows the final product. We've got to be people in this last day that we're living in. We've got to have discernment enough to see the lies of the devil, to see the deceit of the devil. We've got to get our fear of God and repulsiveness to sin back in our life and see it for what it really is. I tell you, I watch the Hollywood stuff. And Satan just makes it look so like those people are so living. Most of them have been married so many times they don't even know what their last name is. Sin is death cloaked in life. Sin is slavery wrapped up and presented as freedom. I could just get free. I can't wait to get out of church. I can't wait to get away from my parents. I can't wait to get out of this marriage. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Sin is slavery wrapped up in freedom. Sin is divorce court wrapped up in a seductive man or woman on your job. Sin is poverty wrapped up in wealth. That's what sin really is. As the queen walked through the streets, amazingly, nobody recognized her. Nobody. Doctors didn't. Brilliant people, educated people, lawyers didn't. School teachers didn't. Nobody recognized her for who she was. And when I see this generation that we're living in falling to sin after sin after sin, they are not recognizing sin for who it really is. It has done a well, good job in disguising itself. You better listen to this preacher, because some of you are beginning to go back to some of the stuff that God lets you get out of. The Bible said it's like a dog going back to his own vomit. When God brings you out of the club and brings you out of drinking and brings you out of partying and brings you out of immorality and sexual perversion and you start going back to it, what has the devil shown you? What has he put up before you and told you there's nothing in the church? It's kind of old now. It's out here. What a lie. You better strip that coat off and see the devil for the devil that he is. He's not your friend. If you take a rattlesnake and you wrap it in Saks Fifth Avenue wrapping paper, it's still a rattlesnake. And what's lurking beneath will destroy you. You'll say to the young teenagers here, premarital sex is beautiful. Just let your hands do the walking. Just have at it. It's wonderful. Your parents were wrong, the church was wrong, God's wrong. It's okay. But you better strip the coat off. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to somebody in this room this morning. See, if you walk close to God, you'll have that discernment that old prophet had. So that when the temptation comes, you will be able to see beyond the veneer. When they stuff that stuff in your face and say, "Take it," something in you says, "I know you say it's good, but something in me says, No, it's not right. Now watch this. Sin needs to be exposed for what it is. You ought to sit in my office. You ought to hear what sin does to people's lives. Every time. No exceptions. And you won't be either. But let me give you point two of this message and final part of it. God looked down out of heaven and said, just like Jeroboam, my kids are sick. My kids are dying. What can I do? So God turned to his only son, Jesus. And he said, I need you to go walk the streets disguised as a man. The Bible said Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of God stepped into a flesh suit and zipped it up from the back. God came down in Bethlehem disguised in a flesh suit. All of God. The voice that was whining and crying in Bethlehem's manger. Wah, that voice was the same voice that said, let there be. Can you? It was disguised in a flesh suit. But here's the thing. For 30 years, he disguised himself as something he was not. He became what we are so we could become what he is. But when they took him to the cross and they stripped his coat off and the gamblers gambled for his garment, hanging on the cross, bleeding, the coat was stripped off, and God and his love was revealed for you and for me. The first time he came, he concealed, he disguised who he really was. But the second time that Jesus comes back, he is not going to come disguised this next time. He's coming back with a vesture, riding a white horse, and on that vesture, that clothing, that coat will be written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, I know who he is. He's Lord. The Muslim will. The Buddhist will. The Jews will. The atheist will. The godless, the wicked will bow. It will be obvious to everybody, because when he comes back, he's not coming back disguised. A trumpet's going to blast and say, the king has arrived. And all these people that have got all these philosophies and all these people who think they know so much, one glimpse of him in his realness, undisguised, suddenly their knees will bow. Suddenly man's philosophies will perish. Suddenly every tongue will confess, he's Lord. Billions of Muslims will bow their knee and say, he's Lord. Even the godless in our society that hate God and hate the church so much will bow their knee and say, he's Lord, but it'll be too late. And I've just come by today to preach an old-fashioned message and tell somebody, you better strip the coat off, because you're playing with something that's not what it is. I know it looks like one thing, but the Lord told me to tell you it's something else. And the problem with coming to a church like Free Chapel is just when you think you've got stuff covered, God will send a man and say, strip the coat off, come back to your senses. Don't you understand on the other side of that is pain and grief and divorce and crying kids and messed up future and messed up losing your job. You can lose everything. See it for what it is. I'm praying God will restore discernment to us in these days that we're living in, that we will have what Ahijah had, that when it shows up looking so pretty, perfumed, nice and sweet and attractive, something in us will go off and say, hey, Jeroboam's wife, why do you pretend to be something you're not? When I was in college, there was a girl that was very attractive, and she kept asking me to go back to her dorm with her. And something inside of me, I knew, even though I was majoring in music, I knew I was called to preach. And something inside of me said, Jensen, you can't date just anybody. Now, she looked good. But singles, just because they look good, if they don't know your God, if they don't have your Holy Spirit, if they don't have the Word of God as a foundation in their life, I'm telling you, we have lost our mind. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it's right for you. You've got to have something in you that says, I can't do that, because I feel the Holy Spirit restraining me, saying that's not my plan for your life. No matter how good it looks, strip the coat off. I've often wondered that last time she asked me to come back to her dorm, if I had went, what direction my life would have. I believe at that moment my whole life, all of heaven had bated breath and held its breath. Will he do it? Will he won't? Will he not? And some of you are at that point, and God told me to strip the coat off and tell you that the thief comes but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Strip the coat off of that affair. Strip the coat off of that alcohol. Strip the coat off of those drugs. Strip the coat off of that lie, that shady business deal. Strip the coat off. God's way is the right way. He said, I am the way. Without me, there's no going. I am the truth. Without me, there is no knowing. And I am the life. Without me, there is no growing. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's right every time. Throw your hands up. Open up your mouth. And say, oh God, strip the coat off. Show me deceit. Show me the lies. Show me the disguise that the enemy's been wearing. Let me see what's beneath the cloak. Let me see what's under the covering. Let me see what sin really wants to do to me and my life. And then give me the power to discern and call it for what it is. Wow. Jesus. Boy, somebody's marriage could be saved from this message. Somebody could end up not going to jail from this message. Somebody could end up not wasting 10 years of your life in rehab if you'll strip the coat off. Praise God. I feel free right now. See, I'm sorry. I don't ever want to lose my enthusiasm of why I came to Jesus. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I feel something right now. I feel like saying I didn't get in church to become an old wart sitting on a seat. We need to act like we've got the truth in here. We've got the life in here. We've got the way in here. There's nothing out there but disguises and deceit and a veneer that is not real. We've got it. Act like it. We've got life. We've got truth. We've got the way. Believe it. The Bible is right. Stand up on your feet all over this building. Who have I been preaching to this morning? Who did God send me to preach this sermon to today? How many of you out there that I have preached to would be real and honest and genuine? I feel like saying what that prophet said. Why are you pretending to be something you're not?